Welcome to the Supernatural Childbirth Mamas podcast. This is a place for you to come hear testimonies of other moms who are believing for supernatural childbirth, have already had a supernatural childbirth. This is just the place for you to come be refreshed, hear testimonies, and have community. Moms, we have a Facebook group now. You can search for Supernatural Childbirth Mamas in groups on Facebook. Come join us. We want to have community. We want for you to have a place to not feel alone and have other like-minded mamas. We are having meetups once a month, and my goal and my heart is to build a community around this topic, but mostly around our relationship with the Lord and walking out this faith walk of being a mom and having a supernatural life as a child of God and as a follower of Jesus. So I'm so glad you're here. I can't wait to dive into today's podcast.
Hi, Supernatural Mamas. This is Libby Young, and today I'm here with Karen, who is from South Carolina, and today she's going to tell us a little bit about her conception, as well as her birth story of her son, her firstborn baby. So I'm just going to go ahead and open us up in prayer. Karen, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Awesome. Okay. Open us up in prayer and then let you tell your story.
Okay.
Holy Spirit, I just thank you for this, just this anointed time for Karen to share her testimony of her just supernatural conception, God, just her story of how she walked through her pregnancy, just leaning on you the whole time, Lord. So I just pray that you bring to her memory every detail, everything that you want her to share with these women. And I just pray that every woman listening, every mama listening, everyone believing for a baby would just receive just hope. And just be encouraged by this message, God. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Karen, you want to go ahead and share just a little bit maybe about your background, where you're from, how you heard about supernatural childbirth?
Yes, for sure. So I'm Karen. I'm married to Adam. We've been married almost 5 years now, and we recently moved to South Carolina, like you mentioned. My background's in childcare. So somewhat prepared to be a mom through that. And I heard about the book from a great mentor and friend. And I actually was wondering if there was a podcast with the book and stumbled upon Jana's and this podcast, and has been such, it's been life-giving for sure. And then the community on Facebook, it's just incredible to, even though I've never met any of the women in person, it's just so amazing to have that strong bond, you know, and just feel like people are truly caring about you and praying for you. So, yeah, it's been awesome. I'm honored to be here today.
We're so happy to have you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so me and Karen, when did we start talking?
It was probably last February. Or I know it was definitely, it's been almost a year.
Yeah.
Adam's
been trying to conceive for a while, right?
Yes. Yeah. So,
a little bit about that.
Yeah. So we, let's see, I went to the doctor in May of 2021, and I'd been on birth control, and I just wanted to talk with the doctor beforehand and tell her that I was ready to start trying. I've learned a lot since then. I would probably just be more natural minded today. But at the time, I was just doing things that way. But anyways, I spoke with her, and I was ready. You know, I've always wanted to be a mom. And so I just thought, I'm going to just, you know, we're going to be pregnant right away. It's going to happen, you know. Mm-hmm. And so talking with her, this was the first time I've ever been to this doctor. I didn't have like a steady doctor or anything. It was just a random appointment. But she told me that I should wait 3 months to start trying, because I could miscarry if the uterine lining isn't built up enough. You know, just being on birth control can really make it, I guess, shallow. And thinking back on that, I realized I let fear come in, you know, right away. I was just like, I took her advice, and this is not putting her under the bus or anything, but just I took her advice, like, okay, I can't start trying yet because I could miscarry. And so I was bummed though. I was just ready to, you know, do what God made me to do, but I did wait. And so we didn't start trying till later that summer. And I still thought, I was like, we're going to get pregnant right away. Like, this is going to be great. And we didn't get pregnant right away. And I questioned a lot, like, was it my birth control? Should I have started trying sooner? You know, and this is another controversial thing, but I'll just be an open book here. I got the COVID vaccine, mm-hmm. just out of, you know, I thought I was protecting my family and, you know, being in as a childcare worker. Again, looking back, I probably would have made a different decision. But that also like struck fear in me, like, did something go wrong with the vaccine that's causing mm-hmm. this to, you know, and just so much fear, just like the devil was totally attacking my mind, making me think that I couldn't conceive for whatever reason, and just questioning so many things and the decisions that I had made. And I think that's when I started reaching out to you, like, you know, just you, and you spoke so much truth over me and just, you know, reminded me, no matter what I've done or what has happened, God's word never changes, you know, like it's, it's not like I can do something to mess up his plan. And so, just a lot of redemption, I think, came from those decisions. And, you know, it doesn't, like, at the end of the day, it happened, whatever, who knows if it was the right choice, but, everything works out because God's ultimately sovereign and, you know, his plan comes forth. But, mm-hmm. So yeah, but it was a hard time, and I'm very much a control freak. I like to be in control. I like to plan. And so this not happening according to my calendar was a huge struggle for me. And, you know, an intimacy is not meant to be rigid and like, okay, right. This time at 7 o'clock, we're going to be together. And, you know, like, that's never fun for a marriage. And so yeah. I tried my best to not be that way, but it was hard whenever you want something so bad to not just, you know, do it, you know, make it happen. And so, that was definitely hard. But, you know, and so we just kept, I eventually got some ovulation test sticks. Mm-hmm. Those helped track things. And, you know, we did conceive in February of 2022. Or, yeah, I think, yeah, my years are off. But a week later, we actually miscarried. Mm. And it was what they call a chemical pregnancy. And I know you and I talked about that, too. But it was just devastating because I just thought my promise had come true. And, like, you know, and I know a week is not that long to be pregnant, but in the grand scheme of things, pregnant is pregnant, you know, like it was still the same heartache, I guess.
Yeah.
And so, especially just waiting for something and then it coming and then it leaving. And then, so I kind of spiraled back into questioning things again and,
mm-hmm.
Just like, why, you know, and I, at that time I started really researching my authority in Christ and like what belongs to me and what mm-hmm. and how the devil cannot take things from me and just things like that. And I just became really built up in the word. I think I was looking into people like Kenneth Copeland. Mm-hmm. And so that just built me up a lot. And the next month we conceived. And I completely surrendered as well. I just was like, okay, God, you know, I can't figure this out. I repent that I've been trying to control it. Mm-hmm. And I just gave it all to him. And then we conceived the next month. And I was so confident even before I took the test that I was pregnant, because I just knew that I had submitted to God and his plan and just like given him back the control. And so it was just a joyful, like, confident celebration of we are pregnant. And you know, but it was a trying time for sure. And I don't know, you know, some advice I guess I would give people is obviously just to surrender, which is harder than it sounds, especially people with my personality type. You know, so but yeah, is there anything else about conception that
How long, what was the time span of you guys trying and then getting pregnant that first time?
That was 6 months.
Okay, 6 months. And then mm-hmm. and then you said the next month you got pregnant?
Yeah, so it was 8 months total. So it was like later in the next month.
Yeah.
So, which again, I know some people have been trying for longer and My heart goes out to them for sure. I just feel so much compassion. But I think, again, no matter the timelines of things, it's still the same heartache and struggle and, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because when you're in it, it feels like eternity. Like, it's just like, you know. So, yeah, it was 8 months and just a lot of questioning things. And, yeah. So, but.
I love how you mentioned, though, too, that, you know, no matter how long you're pregnant for, whether it's just a week, you know, in a chemical pregnancy or longer, you know, like, you still hurt the same, you know. And I think kind of the idea that the world has on it is like, oh, well, it was just a chemical pregnancy, it wasn't meant to be, or, you know,
right.
That's, I feel like, what they'll kind of push on women, you know. And I think you still struggle with the heartache afterwards. My heart too goes out to the moms, especially the ones who've been really, really trying and, you know, want that so badly. I mean, any mom it's painful for. So
yes. Yeah.
But yeah. Your story is such a story of, like, God's redemption, though.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. And it's just, I think it's about identity. Like, I needed to remember who I am in Christ. That's like the bottom foundation. Like, I was just trying so much in my human efforts that, and just, like, you know, all the thoughts that swarm your mind when you're questioning things.
Yeah.
I had to take it back to, like, who am I in Christ? God says, like, it's like one of the first verses in the Bible, to be fruitful and multiply, you know, like, that it's meant to be. There's no question about it. So there's nothing wrong with me. There's nothing wrong with any woman or man who is trying to conceive, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's just going back to the foundation of what God says. And who, like, what he's given me, the gifts he's given me, and the plans for my life, you know. And so I would just speak that over myself over and over and just come back to that. Like, that is, and kind of just fight the battle, you know, with God's word.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And I love how you mentioned, too, like, surrender, because I think so often, I don't know if it's just a woman thing or a human thing, that we try to control and try to take things into our own hands. Lies down the road that we're like, wow, I can't do this on my own. And but it's so easy to surrender and then pick it back up and then surrender it again and pick it back up. Or maybe we're never really totally surrendering it.
That's true.
But I love how, really, that's, I feel like, how it works. It's like, we surrender and then God's like, thank you, like, I've been waiting for you to do that. So
yes, let me fight this battle for you. I heard this quote that says, it's my job to believe, and it's God's job to do the rest. All I have to do is believe. It's not my job to figure out how. It's not my job to even do it, whatever the plan is or the thing is. It's just my job to believe and, like, to feed my faith.
And
if I can control that, you know, that's one thing I do have control over, is, like, studying the word and just feeding my faith.
And I love how, like, you didn't get angry with God. Instead, I know that we go through times where we question and we get frustrated because if our situation's not showing up how we want to, or, you know, but instead you went back to your identity and you started really, like, seeking the Lord, because I think when we do seek the Lord, he says, you know, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened, ask and you will receive. It's so good when we start really seeking after the Lord, because then he's like, he wants to open things up for us. And
yeah,
he has grace when we run away too, but
right. Yes. Yeah. I think it's just I had a thought, but it went out my mind.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. I know that.
Walk me through your pregnancy.
Yeah, so I had a whole list of things, and I pulled a lot from these podcasts of what other women had prayed for. So thank you to those women. But just completely healthy, you know, no gestational diabetes. No, I just prayed over everything that I could think of. No hindrances at all. Prayed for a full term pregnancy. Prayed for, you know, just energy, and I had a great pregnancy. I had no complications. I still was, you know, my thoughts were, the number one thing I had to, you know, take care of is just to continue. Because, you know, you're pregnant now, and then you're like, okay, you know, you can't always had the Doppler on every moment, you know, to hear their heartbeat or, you know, you just have to really, it's again, all about surrender and just knowing that God's, this is God's child, number one, like he's taking care of him. And, you know, he's my gift to steward. It's, but ultimately he belongs to God. And so, just trusting, but yeah, I had a really great pregnancy. I can't think of anything that stands out that, you know, but every day I would just speak over, Pacey, my son, and myself. And I loved, what's her name? Childbirth in the Glory. I don't remember her name. Angela, I think. Yeah.
Is that who it is?
Yeah. But Childbirth in the Glory on YouTube, that playlist is really awesome.
Yes.
So I just did that. And, I also really loved, a book by Nyssa Andrews. It's called Pain-Free Childbirth. And I just read that book, and she had four supernatural births. So she's on Instagram as well. She has amazing testimonies and just the power of God's word. And, you know, if it happened for her, it can happen for anybody. And speaking of books, going back to the conception, I read Yes, You Can Have a Baby by Kathy Toney. And that is such a great read as well. It's just, it's very easy to read and just full of God's truth over, because she was told by doctors she was infertile and she wouldn't have children. But obviously God is above that. And another person I liked was Nerida Walker on YouTube. She also, her husband was claimed to be sterile, and she has four children today. So just such powerful things that, like, again, just feeding my faith. I just would go back to all throughout conception and pregnancy. I just kept finding resources that I could, you know, and the thoughts came that I could replace them with, you know.
That's so awesome. Yeah, I think it's just amazing that you ran that way instead of like running towards fertility doctors, and not that that's a bad thing, but you know, instead of really like leaning on the world, like you stuck to what God said and what his word said, you know,
and the
inheritance to have children.
That's right. And that can be like a lonely place if you don't have a community like this group, you know, because the world is ready to tell you, you know, yes, you need to do this. You need to go get checked out. You need you know, and so it's hard to stay in that mindset if you're not surrounded by other believers, you know.
Yeah, fellowship is definitely very, very important. Tell me about, so I know you said that you were believing for, you know, no complications. And so what else were you believing for Pacey's birth, and how did it happen?
Yeah, so for the birth, I was planning a home birth. I met this wonderful midwife recommended by some friends, and I was so excited. I wanted to have a good night's sleep and then wake up, and I wrote it all out. I was like, I want to wake up in the morning and just start having contractions, and just know my labor's begun. And I prayed for like a 5 to 7 hour labor. I was going back and forth between a water birth or just, you know, having it in my room. But I was going to have the tub just in case. Yeah, so I just, you know, just completely peaceful, Holy Spirit filled, me and Adam having just like a really intimate, special time together. And yeah, just peace. That's mostly what I wanted, was just the Holy Spirit to be there and for us to know that, like to feel his presence, and obviously just for everything to go smoothly, you know, healthy and everything. And I'll go ahead and share the birth story if that's.
Yeah.
Yeah. So things didn't exactly go according to plan, but that's okay, because God has the ultimate plan no matter what. So Pacey came 5 weeks early. I was 35 weeks pregnant, and I just went to sleep like normal that night, and I went up to go use the bathroom, and I noticed a trickle that lasted a little longer than normal peeing. And I was like, huh, that's odd. And so I just didn't really think much of it. I just kept, you know, I was tired. So I was like, I'm just going back to bed. And so, but like a few minutes later, I jumped up because a gush of water came out. And I was oh, okay. So that seems like my water broke. And I woke up my husband and I was like, Adam, my water just broke. And you know what the funny thing is? I was completely filled with peace. I had no fear at all. Like, I wasn't in a scramble. I wasn't like, oh my gosh, we're only 35 weeks. You know, like yeah. what I would normally be thinking, like, what is he going to be okay? Like, we're not ready. You know, all the things that I could have thought. I just was completely filled with peace. And I know that that was God. I just was like, okay, he's here and this is happening. And I was just so peaceful. And Adam was too, which is not naturally our personalities. Like, we both were just like, okay, this is okay. And so I called my midwife and let her know. And she happened to be boarding a plane in a few hours to go to the airport to visit her son. And so she wasn't available to come to our house. But we had a birth kit that had like the amnicator that tests the amniotic fluid. Mm-hmm. And she's like, go ahead and do that to make sure it's your amniotic fluid. And it was. I tested it. And so she said, okay, just go back to bed and rest as much as you can and time your contractions if you start having them. And I did. And they were like 1 minute, 2 minutes apart. And then I got up about 1 o'clock. This was like midnight to 1 a.m. And I was like, you know, I just can't really, obviously nobody can really rest whenever your baby's coming. So I went downstairs and I wanted Adam to sleep so that he could be awake for to help me through the birth, you know. And so I went downstairs and I was like, I need to make some food. Like, I need to have my energy for this. And so I kept trying to stand up to make some food, but I just kept going down hands and knees. And that just felt good to just be on hands and knees. You know, the contractions weren't pain. I wouldn't use the word painful. Like a lot of women have said, it was just very intense. But I had been studying and preparing to know that I wanted my body to open. I knew this was what was meant to be, like just like the waves crashing over you. And so I just surrendered to it. I found like just going hands and knees and kind of just rocking back and forth through them was the best way for me to, you know, just like thanking Jesus and praising him. And but it was just so funny that I couldn't, like, they were on top of each other. I was just like, I can't get up to do anything. And so I was like, okay, it's okay. And then about 3:30 in the morning, Adam came down. Because I started like moaning through the contractions, not in a painful way, just like it felt good to kind of vocalize. And he's like, are you okay, babe? And I was like, I think we need to pack a suitcase. You know, like and it's funny because during that time I was just praying and worshiping. And God told me, he's like, Karen, you need to go ahead and get a move on because you only have until 5:30 in the morning and he'll be here. Oh. And so I was like, okay. We talked to my midwife and she connected us with the local hospital, which of course wasn't my first choice, but there were midwives there at the hospital that we were going to be working with. And so we knew that we needed to go ahead and pack our suitcase and head towards the hospital. So we started going, but it was hilarious. Adam was like running around trying to grab stuff to pack because we, you know, it's 5 weeks early. We had nothing, like we were doing a home birth, so we had nothing packed. And you know, it was just a funny memory. Like, what do we need? Oh my gosh. And so it was just so funny. But I was no help because I just couldn't get off the floor. I wasn't in pain, but just like, I can't do anything but focus on these contractions. And we called my midwife again and just, she I called the hospital to let them know that you're coming. And she could hear me going through the contractions. And she's like, she's in active labor. You guys need to, no dawdling, like go ahead and get going. And I was so surprised with that thinking back because I had no transition, no, like, I didn't throw up. I didn't, like, you know, all the things I thought could happen that are just signs of, like, the phases of labor. Mm-hmm. I just kind of sailed through them, which, again, was totally God. Like, he just carried me through.
Amazing.
You know, like, and not saying it was easy by any means, but it was just, like, I just felt his presence for sure. Like, just the peace and just, like, the confidence of knowing this is what my body is meant to do. Like, I just totally surrendered to God and his design. And so we got in the car and of course it was raining. There was like a hurricane warning that weekend. And so God bless Adam. He was amazing. He just drove us to the hospital in the pouring rain. And I was like in the back seat on all fours, just like working through the contractions. And
wow.
I'm sure. And like, he put praise worship music on and it was just definitely a memory for sure.
Wow.
But we get to the hospital and I can't even sit in the wheelchair because I'm like, oh, by the way, I'm pushing on the way to the hospital. Like, about 10 minutes before we arrive, my body just starts pushing. And I'm like, I'm not going to stop it because I just want my body to do what it's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I, again, just like had such peace and confidence. And I was just like, you know, if the baby comes in the car, I'm just going to catch him and we'll be at the hospital soon and it'll be okay. Like, all these thoughts are not rational if you aren't in the peace of God, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like, but I was so just like, okay, I'm calm. Like, I can do this. And my body was going ahead to push. And so I couldn't sit in the wheelchair once we arrived because I was like, I can't, I need to be on all fours. Like, this is not comfortable to not do anything but all fours. And so Adam ran inside and got some of the nurses and doctors. And it felt like 12 people ran out to come get me. And they pushed me through the wheelchair, through the halls. It was like a movie. It was like going so fast because they thought I was about to have the baby in the parking lot. And so they got me up on the table and everything. And I pushed for an hour and he was born at 6 a.m. So it was, so God told me 5:30, but at 6 a.m. He was born and he was healthy. It was all good. There were a few things I wanted that, you know, delayed cord clamping and things that didn't quite happen, that I think could have happened with a home birth.
Mm-hmm.
Just because the thought process is different whenever you're a midwife. But overall, he was so healthy and I was healthy. And so that's what I praise God for. And the fact that he gave me my 5 to 7 hour long labor, you know,
because it was start to finish. How?
Yeah, it was 6.5 hours.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's unheard of, Karen, for a first baby.
I know. That's what people really have said. And yeah, it's totally God. Like, I just praise him for that. And just that he carried me through and gave me so much peace. And as you know, you've given birth, like, it's just you're in a whole nother world. Like, you feel like when it's happening and when you can sit back and reflect on it, it's like, oh my gosh, that just really happened.
Wow. And really, truly amazing too, because, you know, I've known a couple people who have some non-believers who've given birth early, like 35 weeks, and they didn't have that same outcome, you know.
We definitely had to walk through some stuff because after he was born, you know, the NICU, the head of the NICU came in and she was like, we're gonna have to monitor his blood glucose levels to make sure that they don't drop or he will be in the NICU. And so right away, you know, we went into this battle, I guess, to make sure he stayed healthy. And again, I reached out to you and to other people, mm-hmm. just praying, and God carried us through all that. He also had some jaundice that we had to work through. But again, God was just showing up. It was very emotional, but I just kept declaring, I was like, God's not going to carry me this far just to drop me, you
mm-hmm.
know? And so, and I know that a lot of mamas have to face the NICU and it's just so heartbreaking. And I my heart goes out to them for sure, but I'm just so thankful that we didn't have to have that journey with him. Cause he was 6 pounds, 3 ounces. So he was even a decent weight for being early.
Oh yeah.
Sure. So I think God just totally took care of everything.
Yeah.
You know, it was just, but from like conception all the way to him being born, I always had to continue going back to the word. It wasn't like I all of a sudden just was like totally, you know, I'm still working on it, trusting God fully and being full of faith. It's a daily practice, you know, but it's just continuing. And I think as I go I get stronger, you know, like you just
mm-hmm.
the more you build up your faith. But I had to keep turning back to the word because there's so many things that could have gone wrong. And the doctors, of course, like just running so many tests and checking everything that you're like, oh my gosh, like what's going on? And so it's easy to get into a place of fear. But
you feel like you walked a lot through fear during your pregnancy, or do you feel like God delivered you from that and you were able to just kind of dismiss the thoughts?
There were some points where I got nervous, especially this reminded me of this, about week 7 of my pregnancy, I spotted and I got nervous that I was about to miscarry again. And so I just, but it was just, I guess, normal, maybe implantation or just normal bleeding. It never happened again, but that was just a moment where I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You know? So it definitely wasn't a straight line of faith. It was up and down, you know,
mm-hmm.
But overall though, I think it, because I kept reading the books, like that one by Nyssa Andrews, just,
mm-hmm.
I read it at least 3 times during my pregnancy just to continue give you my thoughts on the kingdom. You know, what does God say? So
that's so awesome. Yeah, I feel like it's easy to sometimes drop the ball with that. I know if I go a couple days or a week without being in my word, like I struggle.
Yeah.
And then I wonder why. I'm like, why am I struggling so much?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah. But it's also easy on the other end, which I've faced this, where I start striving and I start speaking the word so much that I not in a place of like surrender and agreement, but in a place of like, I want to control things and I'm speaking the word and that means this has to go my way, you know, like instead of just like agreeing with Jesus and his word and being in a place of peace. So it's like a balance, you know, because I started out with our first pregnancy. Actually, I started out from a place of fear. And so I was just like saying the word like crazy, but not really in a good heart, if that makes sense. But we're all learning and growing. So
that's right. Your story reminds me, I have this verse posted on my wall, so I'm going to read it. It's Romans 8:28 and says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So I feel like it doesn't mean that things that aren't in our plan aren't going to happen, you know, but it's like God has the power to work everything, good and bad, for our good.
Right.
You know? Yeah. So, and I just know that your story is going to touch so many women that are struggling. And because I know that when you don't see the outcome, when you don't see those two lines on a pregnancy test and you've been waiting and waiting and waiting, it's easy to lose hope.
Yes, for sure. Yeah. And I kept going back, like I said, to what does God say? And I really liked, and this is something that is so deep, at least to me, I feel like it's very deep theological, like, something to really ponder, but in Hebrews it talks about resting in God's finished work, and just have like you already have the victory, but you like you don't see it yet, but you already have it, and you can just rest in that and know that God's it's like a mind warp to me though. I'm just like, yeah, I have to really train my mind. But there's that verse where Abraham and Sarah, the classic story where they were beyond fertile years, but God still gave them a son, and Abraham didn't doubt for one second. He was fully persuaded that God would follow through on his promises. And just reading that verse over and over was helpful to me. But yeah, it's just again, I lost my train of thought, but I also had a natural birth. I forgot to mention that too. Like my birth was completely natural, which was another thing on my list. Obviously with a home birth, you're planning a natural birth. And so there weren't many interventions or things like, actually there were no interventions, I should say. So that was another thing that, you know, cause going to a hospital, they start to push stuff on you and, you know, usually out of, you know, it could be wisdom, the doctor's wisdom, but sometimes it's just kind of, they're pushing stuff. And so you have to be careful, but I was very thankful that God also met that desire. Just like they didn't even push anything on me. So that was amazing to have a natural birth and
really amazing.
Yeah. So
that's so awesome. I know a lot of moms go, you know, find supernatural childbirth after they've already had, you know, some bad experiences, you know?
Yeah.
So it's really amazing to hear, of even a first birth being that amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really so thankful. I give it all to God and he did it. Yeah. I'm excited for the next one, you know, to see what else.
That's pretty supernatural if you just had a baby a couple weeks ago and you're already ready for it.
I know. I told Adam that. He's like, let's take it one day at a time, babe. Because it was just, I don't know, it was just so cool. Like it's probably because of the faith that I've gained from it is what makes me excited, you know, just to like, what else does God have in store? Like, that's how he wants us to be as his children anyways.
Yeah.
You know? You can probably hear my little babe, and he's been like making his cute noises. If you hear that in the background, but yeah, that's what God wants as for his children is for us to be eager and expectant of his gifts. You know, like what does he have for us?
Yeah,
and I was in such a place of like, is God gonna do this for me? Like questioning, you know, and you know, is God trustworthy? Is he really good? And, you know, just questions that I had, and to be able to flip it around and be expectant. And like, just like it says in Ephesians, I think it is, like, we're his children and he wants to lavish his gifts on us. And like, we are his like central point. We're his focus of his love. Like, we are everything to him.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah. It's just a complete mind shift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought about that verse too that says seek, and I'm not sure where it's found, I'd have to look it up, but seek first his kingdom and all these things shall be added unto you. I think I might have butchered that, but
yeah no, that's it. Yeah,
but really it's you're right, it's like you seek the kingdom of God, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm second.
Yeah, yes, I love that verse too. It's just like, and then it's almost easy if you really think about it, like all I have to do is believe, like just focus on Jesus and not anything else. Like, you know, another great resource that I found was Kira Blazer. She has a ministry for childbirth too. Hers is called A Heavenly Welcome. Mm. But she has this course called Worrying with God, and it's all about breaking free from worry. And she's like, I just started to ask myself, is God worried about this? I don't think so. Like, he's not. So why should I be? You know, whatever the situation is, you can apply it to anything. And she would just like sit with God and she would turn it around and be like, what if this goes amazingly? And, you know, what if this happens? And, you know, just kind of, you know, changing your mind again around. So she's another great resource I found for sure.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Sometimes we're even, you know, and sometimes this can happen through childhood or through traumatic experiences, but we can almost be wired just to fear.
Mm-hmm.
Always be walking in fear, but that's not how God designed us.
Right. Yeah.
But
yeah.
That's amazing. I want to post all the people that you've mentioned in the books that you've mentioned. So I'll have to get those from you so that we.
Yes. Yeah. They were so helpful for sure. I'm so thankful for the community. Like it was amazing to search and find things. You know, you didn't really know if there were things out there that you could really lean on, but there's so much out there that can really help so much.
Yeah. Is there any advice? I know you've given some advice already but especially to the moms who are just really believing and waiting for pregnancy.
Yeah. I'll take it even to a practical level. Put a verse in your car, on your mirror, like just something. That's what I did. I had scripture in my car, and every day when I arrived at work, I would take it out and read it out loud before going into work. Like just, you know, it's one thing to talk about. You need to have faith. You need to believe. But actually putting it into practice was really helpful for me to like actually read it every day, you know, which was, again, it's hard to form habits sometimes. But that's something that I did. And just, I talked about surrender a lot. But hearing the word of God kind of does all the work for you. You know, you just, if you can just do that one thing, just read, even if it's one verse every day, it'll start to, you know, I mean, Jana said she would just soak in the bathtub to the scripture like every day. And it really, that's all you have to do is just let the word do the work, I guess is what I would say. You know, and just your job is to believe. And it sounds easy, but I hope that kind of, like that sounds the way I want it to sound. But
that's great advice.
Yeah.
Amazing. Were there any other details? I know you said specifically that the Lord told you that he would be born around 5:30. Was there anything else like throughout your pregnancy where you got just like clear confirmation or just like that you heard from the Lord about certain things?
Yeah. I asked for words from God, like to give me a word, and he gave me fresh outpouring and the Lion of Judah. And so the fresh outpouring, I'm still working out with him, wondering what the one thing I can point to is that it was raining the day that, you know, what's like kind of the symmetry there or the whatever the word is was funny. But just like, and I take it as just like the Holy Spirit is just going to just pour, like come up afresh on us, me and my family, like just through the birth of our son. And then the Lion of Judah, just like God fighting our battles, like he has victory already. In fact, I even wanted to have like a lion picture in Pacey's room, like a real lifeline, not like a cartoon, but like a real lion that reminded me of like Aslan, you know, on Narnia, like that kind of look, the Chronicles of Narnia, if you know that book and movie.
I literally just picked that book out today to read
it. Yeah, yes. So that just that kind of imagery was what came to mind. So yeah, just totally leaning on him and just letting him be, letting him fight for me, that, and you know, and just letting him pour out, receiving from him, he's pouring out so many blessings and making sure that I'm open to receiving what he has for me.
Yeah, that's really amazing. I feel like I had one more question too. Okay, I know what it was. So I know that you, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure some of your family maybe wasn't on board with what you were believing for, or did you ever have to have conversations with people, or did you and Adam decide not to really share what you guys were believing for?
Yeah, my parents and my family were nervous about the home birth at first. Is that what you mean? Like,
yeah,
home birth and supernatural, I guess.
Yeah, I guess I know a lot of women struggle with like, well, who do I tell? Who should I not tell? You know, if they're dealing with people that, you know, like people close by you, maybe even your own mother or father,
mm-hmm.
feels that what you're doing is unsafe or not practical, or, you know, not the way that they would do it.
Right. Yeah.
React to that.
Yeah. I was actually surprised with their reaction. They just kind of were like, okay, you know, I could tell they were hesitant and like, but I guess they just realized it's my decision. Mm-hmm. But my mom did tell me after Pacey was born that she was glad that I gave birth in a hospital, which, I mean, it's whatever, but I know that she wants safety above all, which a lot of people just don't know that home birth is safe. You know, it's just as safe as it's natural. Like, it's your body's meant to do it. But that's a whole nother story. But with friends, I didn't really tell many friends, or even like, just because I was guarding my mind. Like, I really made it a point to guard my mind because I didn't want to let fear in. I didn't want to hear a story about a home birth gone wrong, or, you know, just things like that, or even have to like fight for the reasons I believe this, you know, just why would I waste my energy on that, you know?
Yeah.
But it was hard because people would ask like, which hospital are you giving birth at? Or people would talk about, make sure you get the drugs. You need all the drugs to give birth and it's going to hurt so bad. And, you know, and my reaction was always like, that's good to know. Like, I would just say, like, I would be polite and just kind of, thanks for that information. Like, but I would never agree with them or be like, yeah, I'm definitely getting, you know, an epidural, or, you know, I would never come into agreement with what they were saying. Cause it's all from a place where they just don't know, or they don't really believe the same. And so it's not their fault.
Nice, because I know a lot of women struggle with, and I think I'm glad you said that, because it's not like we're keeping things from people. Like, it's okay to not tell everybody everything.
Right.
It's okay to keep that between you and God, or you and your husband, or whoever the Lord puts on your heart to keep this between, because it is, you know, we do have to guard our minds. We do have to guard our hearts. And, you know, especially if people don't believe the same way, they can have an impact on us, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm so close to my family. So it was I was nervous for what they would think, you know, and again, they were hesitant, but they just didn't really, I guess they just kind of left the decision to me.
Yeah.
But yeah. And I didn't talk about the supernatural part though, cause I just feel like that type of conversation is best between strong, little buddy, it's okay. Between strong believers, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I just feel like that. Because not that you can't evangelize and share and, you know, but that type of conversation is a mature, I would say, you know, like, just, so I never really talked about that with anybody except for Adam. I talked about with my husband. He was totally on board and believing with me, which was awesome.
Did your faith together?
Yeah.
Oh, Karen, can you hear me? Sorry, we lost you for a second.
Okay, somebody was calling me, so I think. I was just saying that faith was more. It was more personal for me, I guess. But he definitely believed the same things with me. But we Next time I would love to like pray out loud together and like just talk more about what we were believing for together. But for this one, it was more of just like a personal walk of faith, I would say.
That's awesome. Yeah. Yeah, is there anything else you feel like you want to share that the Lord might be putting on your heart to share?
Another practical piece of advice I just want to share. I prepared so much for the birth and for, you know, all that. And I didn't prepare as much for the postpartum period. Just like, what does it look like when baby is here? You know, I have some practical background in caring for children, but more so just like, what does God have for my postpartum period? Mm. And what is, you know, just like, I believe for this supernatural birth, I should also believe for supernatural, like breastfeeding is going to go amazing because God designed my body to breastfeed. Mm-hmm. Or like my healing is going to be, you know, off the charts because God is my healer, you know, just stuff like I believe for in the birth carried over. I should have carried over more into, which speaking of healing, my healing has been great. But just different things I would have prepared for more, now that the baby's here, as far as like, what does God have for me?
Yeah, that's awesome. I know it's easy to forget that postpartum is even a thing.
Yeah.
but it is. And it is a journey. And it's, I know for me in my past, I don't necessarily look forward to the postpartum period. I love pregnancy and having a baby, but that's probably something that I need to also step into faith with for my next one, because postpartum can be, you know, can be challenging.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Especially just as a first time mom, like it's just, you want to make sure you don't feel lonely in this season. And because it's like you're kind of hunkered down, just doing every 2 hours, you're feeding and sleeping and, you know, doing all the things. And so it's a different lifestyle for a short period of time.
Yeah. And
just making sure that you're staying connected to people who are speaking life over you and things like that. Yeah.
For sure. And if I have anything to say about that, it keeps on getting better. I know.
Yeah. Yes. That's what I've heard.
It keeps on getting
better. Yes.
But Karen, would you be open to praying over the women that are listening?
I'd love to. Yeah.
I feel like you have a special anointing over especially the women that are believing to conceive. And I know that God uses our story and our testimony to just open people's hearts and I know that people can even be set free and just receive from the Lord just by hearing our testimony. So pray specifically for that and anything else the Lord puts on your heart to pray for.
Yes, definitely. Awesome. I'll go ahead and pray now. God, we just thank you so much for this community. Thank you so much for Libby and Jana and the leaders of this group, Lord, for the work that they put into making a community happen. God, I just praise your name, Lord. I praise you for who you are, and that, God, just thank you for loving us. Thank you for your son, Jesus. Thank you for this life that you want to give us, this abundant life full of freedom and hope and joy. God, thank you that you are our shepherd and you're our best friend, and that you walk with us every day, and that you want to hear everything going on in our lives. You want to be a part of every detail, Lord. God, thank you that you just love us so much. And Lord, I just thank you that this is your idea, childbirth and pregnancy, and that we are your children, that you gave us this plan and you are the one who makes it happen. You have the perfect design. Our bodies are perfect. I just declare that right now over every man and woman trying to conceive, that their bodies are healed and whole because of Jesus, because of what he did, because of his finished work. There's no hindrances. There are no problems. There's nothing hindering a conception, a healthy pregnancy in Jesus' name. I declare that right now to break off the chains that are holding things back from happening, Lord. I just pray over that right now. I speak life. I come into agreement with your word, God, that you said to be fruitful and multiply, that you have blessed the fruit of our wombs, God, that you designed us to have children, and you have made a way for it to happen, God. And I just speak that right now. And I speak against anything holding it back, Lord. I just pray peace, and I pray hope. And I pray, Lord, that these women and men would not lose their hope, God. I just pray that they would never lose their hope in you and that of the promises that you have for them, God. I just pray that they would continue to stay connected to these other group members and just reach out for prayer, God, and just never go to a place of being alone or hopelessness, God. Just I pray hope and peace and joy over them as they walk out this faith journey of conceiving a child and all through a healthy pregnancy, Lord. I just declare that. I just thank you, Lord, that it's already done, that we can rest in your goodness and your faithfulness. God, I just pray that we would make time to spend with you and to learn more about you and your promises, and just to stay in community and fellowship with each other and just to lift each other up, Lord. And God, I'm just excited to hear the testimonies that will come from this, Lord, and all of the healthy babies that will be born, and just for your plans to come to fulfillment, Lord God. We just agree with your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Yes, amen. I wanted to share. I felt like I heard the Lord say while you were sharing your story, and I'm not sure who this is for, but I felt like he said your gift is coming. So if there's someone who really is believing for a baby, like, don't give up that hope because your gift is coming. Like it
yes.
And just receive that.
Amen.
And I wanted to share, I have two verses, so I'll share both of them.
Yeah.
First one's Mark 11:23, and it says, "Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go, throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." And I think the key here is that we truly have to believe the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Say that we believe it. I don't know if any of you ladies have heard of Chris Vallotton, but he's a preacher that I've listened to from Bethel, and he's really good. He talks about how, you know, if you've got this little kid that walks up to you and says that they're going to beat you up, you'd probably laugh at them, right? Because you don't believe them. But
right. If
a big, you know, massive guy with huge muscles walks up to you and says he's going to beat you up, you're going to believe him. And it's not that they actually are going to do that. It's just you actually believe that what they say is true.
Yeah.
And so I think there's a key to, like, truly putting our faith and our hope in what God says is the truth, no matter how our feelings point us, you know, because our feelings are, you know, very deceiving at times. So we have to go back to the word of God.
Yes.
And the other verse I want to share was Romans 12:2, and it says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." And his will is always perfect. Like Aaron, I know you said that you had to constantly renew your mind. It's a daily thing.
If
you drop the ball, it's very easy for our mind to just go off wherever, you know.
For sure. Yes. Yeah. And I thought of another verse too, this one is so simple. When I was talking about just having verses in my car that I could read really quickly.
Yeah.
It's I think it's 127 verse 3, and it's children are God's love gift and heaven's generous reward.
Mm.
And it's the Passion Translation. So I just love how he says it's his love gift to us. I was just thinking, I think you just said something about being a gift, and that made me think of that.
127 verse 3.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to look it up and see what the NIV says. Yeah, children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring, a reward from him.
Yes, yeah.
That's awesome.
And I don't know if you read the Passion Translation, but I just love the it's like poetic. Whenever you read that version, I like it a lot. So I'll go back and forth between that and the Message and, you know, ESV, all the different ones. It's really cool to see the different words, but that wording just, like, is so God's heart. Like, his love gift to us.
Yeah.
You know, so I like that.
Such a good father.
Yes. Yeah. Well, amazing.
So much for sharing, Karen. And I hope that, I know that God's going to use this story to touch a lot of women. So
yes,
whoever,
that's my prayer. Yeah.
This is awesome.
Yeah. It's my pleasure. Thank you for asking me.
Yeah. So I'm going to, get with you and get all the, books and the people that you mentioned during our talk. And I'm going to post them, with our podcast on our Facebook page. and Instagram, just so that anyone listening that wants to get a hold of the books that Karen talked about, we'll have that there posted.
Yeah, perfect.
Thank you, Karen.
It was yes, so thank awesome you so much
for sharing your story.
Yes, thank you.
All right, bye.
Bye.